Good morning again, honorable members, and good morning, CGE. I think we've got a challenge with the bioscope. Okay. Honorable Chief, can we agree to start? I think we all have our hard copies, because he wanted to present using the bioscope. Okay. So I think we've got a challenge. Can we then continue using our copies, hard copies, and then we'll talk about the matter whilst we're on our way? Agreed, honorable member, because it's quarter to 11 now, and remember that it's 2 o'clock, we're supposed to be in the house today. We'll be passing the president will be in the house today, so we are all forced to be in the house. So we've got only two, but we're not 2.5 hours to deal with the matter before us. I think members are agreeing, and we welcome you all, members of the CGE, the chair, together with the team, and we welcome you, you in this portfolio committee. Today we're going to present the fourth quarterly report. I think it's the last report before the annual presentation, the annual report. So before we deal with the content of the quarterly report, we've got three apologies. One is for the chairperson of the particular commission, Honorable Manela. She's attending the PAP since last week. The other one is from CN Macheke, Honorable Macheke. He's saving another commitment, and Honorable Dex, he's not well. I think these are the only, Honorable Dudley. This is also committed. I think these are the four apologies that we are having. Can we move to the presentation? I'm not quite sure who's going to start, but surely the chairperson will lead the delegation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think as a committee, we are also acknowledging the reports that you have tabled, though there's a concern from members that you have submitted very late. We did receive your presentation on Thursday late, and unfortunately it was difficult for our staff to circulate them on Thursday, and actually they've got part, they received some of your presentation, and the rest of the outstanding documents that we have received them on Friday. So it was very difficult. I think you'll explain more. And the other thing, we acknowledge the report that has been outstanding. I think members requested that this report, your legal committee report, the way outstanding questions to written responses actually. That were outstanding. I think we have received them, but I doubt whether members have gone through them. And some few presentation that we have received, I think you speak to that. Over to you, Chair and CEO.
I'm not also just a member, but I must also say that the reason for us to send the presentation late is that the documents are in front of you should be processed by Commissioner Seth. Our Commissioner's meeting was on Tuesday, Wednesday, yesterday, last week. So we have only to actually send it to Parliament after actually considered them. We are very, very sorry. And I think when we work up our presentation in the future, we must also discuss the time frame of plenary. So when we come here, we must present to our other commissioners as actually see. So that coincidence made us actually submit it. But the time to actually exchange the parliament is something going to be difficult. Remember, and as we were even invited to come before to actually present this to commissioners. That was very sorry, Chairman. I think in terms of the alignment of the plenaries and the parliament, my colleagues have a discussion to say when you are called, it should be at least 1 week after plenary is set to consider what doesn't require the report.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Temba. Do you have any input? Or are you comfortable with the explanation? Okay. Going forward, we'll make sure that we align both and our program and their program. Thank you very much, Leo.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, honorable members. I'll be presenting the substance now that we don't have batch box other stuff by indicating that this is the presentation that I will be doing. And members will realize that when you get to slide 23, I've got a hyperlink there. Under page 23, I'll speak to this document, which is a hyperlink. It's entitled Legal Clinic Reform. So in slide 23, I was talking about, I'll be talking about legal clinic. So what I've done, I've hyperlinked the web document that says legal clinic. So when I get there, I will just reference to that. And then under slide 34, I've also put the actual APP with program on it, so that it makes it easier for members to find out how you are. So slide 34, I will have hyperlinked to the actual APP section page, which is the same. Thank you. Without wasting too much time, my slides have been highlighted the table of contents with go through the overview. We normally go through our constitutional manifestation and others in our slide presentation, so I don't necessarily have to go through that. And because in the last engagement with the committee, there was a feeling that we don't really highlight in our work or in the presentation the work that commissioners undertake, so I've got some slides that try to summarize commissioners' program, and then I will then proceed to getting into quite a number of issues that we have found as we are working or as we are undertaking our work on the ground, and that will follow with the conclusion. As we are all aware, this presentation is for the work that the CDE undertook for the financial, for the last quarter of the financial year, which is the period that runs from January to March 2020. The presentation will, at high level, try and examine the achievements as against the targets that we had put for forward when we started working on this ACP at the beginning of the financial year. And also just to highlight other work that the Commission would have undertaken other than just ensuring that they achieve methods that are in the APP, things relating to the fact that within that particular period as well, we had to then put in an APP for the new financial year 2015-2016, and therefore there were also specific activities that were undertaken by the Commission during that particular quarter to highlight or finalize the APP itself. Our constitutional mandate as known, we are there to promote, protect, for gender equality and protect and try and move forward issues that develop attainment for gender equality. I'm not going to get too much. Just to run through, our Act also gives us additional powers as is well known in terms of Section 11. We monitor, investigate, undertake research, we educate, we lobby like-minded institutions around legislation that can be put in place in terms of some of the gaps that we found when we are doing our work, and then we then come to Parliament and advise Parliament accordingly and report on issues that we have found as the Commission. In terms of the work that we undertook, I will zoom directly now to slide 8 in terms of oversight work by commissioners. In this particular quarter, we had a plenary that set from the 9th to the 11th of February, and that plenary was going to be considering reports of the Secretariat for the third quarter. That was ending activities that we were undertaking around political parties in trying to see if we can engage various political parties, and also in launching that particular report that we have already engaged Parliament on. Many of the discussions also that we looked at during that time was relating to the plight of women, farm workers and children, and we were trying to put some things together or some activities together as a commission to say what is it that we can do to ensure that we are able to reach out to farm workers, because as we were undertaking our work, we found that it's difficult sometimes to engage with them because we can only engage with them on weekends and all that. So we have to put some plans around those specific things, and commissioners were looking directly on those matters. And we had Queenery on the 6th of March that then engaged on the APP for 2015-2016 and the budget thereon, which then had to then approve that before we could then launch it to Parliament. In terms of our work, we always highlight that commissioners play oversight on the work that we undertake, and there are quite a number of issues for this particular quarter that they would have engaged with and dealt with, and I will just run through that first thing. I think we will have a fuller work document report that speaks to those specific issues. There's been engagement with House of Traditional Leadership on gender equality matters in various provinces. Gender transformation hearings have happened, and in our gender transformation hearings, commissioners formed a panel that then is able to hold other institutions to account, it's been department, private sector, and municipalities. So there were specific hearings that we had set for this particular quarter, and commissioners were all there to then sit in that particular panel and be able to interrogate and engage with the different entities on the basis of information that the secretariat would have then received, analyzed, check how far transformation is as far as those departments are concerned. During that period, there was also a CSW, Commission on the Status of Women 69, where specific preparations were undertaken by specific commissioners that were going to be in attendance. We have been included or called upon to be part of the gun campaign. And there have been quite a number of meetings in discussing or seeing what it is that needs to be done to that our current firearms control act, to see whether there can be methods or issues or changes that could be done to then ensure that at least we don't have this high rise killings, especially femicide related. Marikana, we had a widow with a legal clinic in Marikana, and members will remember that in the past the commission had a widow with study where there were quite a number of issues that we unraveled that affect widows, and therefore we still do go to the different rural areas and we engage with those specific communities just to highlight what legal protections they have as widows and all that. So we did undertake a clinic that was led by the commissioner that is leading the Northwest province for that, for this period. Often early marriages and early child marriages, we had engagement on LGBTI communities. Imaging men's organizations that oppose gender equality, we've had such an engagement, a robust engagement with some of those main institutions that feel that gender equality is now, we are now really pushing women and we are not now leaving men in the dump. Rural women's movement, the land movement of SA on access to land, so we've had those specific activities that are led by commissioners in on some of those activities. We've engaged with Parliament obviously, for which are really seeing something society and not our government. We have had engagement, commissioners have had engagement with progressive women in the movement of South Africa. Specifically, that we have and where commissioners are taking part. And we've had engagement with quite a number of issues through our media, issues ranging from virginity testing, Kofala, women's representation in political parties, and decision-making positions. And of course, we had engagement with international and some of the regional bodies on some of the reports that we have previously presented before this particular parliament. Commissioners, as I highlighted, do work in provinces, and they oversee specific provinces and engage even with provincial legislatures. And the like in those specific provinces. I will then run through, I have tried in putting my presentation so that it also makes easier reference to highlight the strategic objectives that we are talking to and then speak to the particular planned outcomes and then just highlight the sub-strategies but then go directly into progress because I think progress is what is important. In terms of strategic objective 2, which is to ensure the creation and implementation of an enabling legislative framework that promotes the attainment of gender equality, we have set for ourselves to ensure that we monitor and evaluate the promotion of gender equality and relevant policies that speak to that, whether in public or private sector, to initiate legislative improvement. We wanted to conduct a few assessments and to evaluate the implementation of effectiveness of national justice facilities as far as gender discrimination methods are concerned, and then to then be able to convene dialogue. So those were the specific things that we set for ourselves under strategic objective 1. And under this strategic objective, in terms of looking at the various policies, evaluating various policies, I indicated that we have held employment equity hearings or transformation hearings, as we call them. All provinces for this particular quarter held follow-up consultations. We've had previously transformation hearings, and in this particular quarter what we were doing was just to go back and get a sense of whether most of the departments have been able to put forward or work in some of the recommendations that we had highlighted when we were engaging with them previously. And during this period as well, we were then able to consolidate the actual report that also highlights some of the action plans that all the entities should be addressing, which we will then continue to monitor even in this first quarter. In terms of the transformation in universities, we have held a hearing at the end of the first quarter where we have called UNIVEN, UNISA, and Department of Higher Education specifically. And for this particular quarter, what we then did was to give them a full list, write them a letter that gives them a full list in terms of the things that we have found as we are engaging with them. When we were not happy as a commission as far as gender transformation is concerned, and forward those with a view that in the first quarter then we will then engage with them. First quarter and second quarter we will be going back and engaging with them to see whether there are proper programs undertaken, what are the kind of challenges, if anything, and then if they also need training, we always give support to that. If they need us to veto and look into their own policies just to ensure that what they've drafted is proper, then we also look into that and finalize that. For that activity as well, from the research point of view, we do administer to different departments our web-based tool, which we call the Gender Barometer 2, and for this particular quarter, we were now analyzing the data which we had
14. The slide is in your fourth quarterly report presentation. Of gender-based violence and strength.
doing as far as gender-based violence is concerned. And in our analysis, we actually found that there is quite a lot of programs that Department of Social Development is undertaking, and therefore we've looked into those particular ones, and we were analyzing some of those, so that's what we will then be engaging on when we come with our report. We've monitored 14 cases across provinces, and these cases, they are highlighted in the, I've got a table that I've also put forward, but when we monitor cases, we always monitor cases across the board, cases around issues of race, cases around issues around sexual harassment, custody of minor kids, femicide, domestic violence, and murder, which involves witchcraft. We've got specific two cases in Limpopo and in the Eastern Cape that we are monitoring and following very closely. We also have a consolidated report. What we normally try and do with our consolidated report, because when we monitor some of these cases, this is where we unravel where the system sometimes is a little bit slow or is not helping as far as gender issues are concerned or gender discrimination matters are concerned. Therefore, we do put together a consolidated report which we shared and engaged this committee with for the previous financial year. This year as well, for this quarter, we've put together a consolidated cost monitoring report, and we have set up a meeting with the Justice Cluster that is going to take place on the 26th of June for us to be able to discuss some of the issues that we have been able to surface as we are monitoring, with the hope that we will be able to improve on some of these those specific processes. For cost monitoring as well, we are still awaiting, because part of what we were doing was to look into specific judgments that we felt where there were justices that were making judgments that really did not help the cause of gender equality. We are still awaiting the Chief Justice to respond to our letter, because we felt that there are specific judgments that we have monitored, that we have utterances that we feel that go against gender equality, and we wanted to engage with him. So we are still hoping that we will still respond to that so that we can be able to take some of those issues forward. The policy dialogue we have set for this year to undertake 18 policy dialogues. These policy dialogues were on the basis of the reports that we finalized in the previous financial year. When we undertake research and we come up with findings and recommendations, in the next year then we form or we engage with policymakers, different forums, HODs, premier's offices, and the like. We engage with them just to on highlighting some of the issues that, or listing up some of the issues that we found in our previous previous year's report. So we have been able to engage, and I must indicate that we still are finding difficulties in some instances. You know, when we put in, for instance, the gender barometer tool, we request specific information and we want that information to be signed off by an HOD. But many a times you find that at the point when you are now seated with HODs around the table and then you discuss some of the findings, then they would want to then dispute some of those and to say who gave you this information, this is not correct and all that. So we still find the remnants of those. But I must say there are, you know, specific departments and also provinces that really come forward and are welcoming in terms of some of the findings that we have, to an extent that they then invite us back to come and assist them, either take them through issues of gender mainstreaming or even looking in to help them. They come up with policies and then we just critique those policies. That's why I like where there are problems. Slide 17, I've just spoken to the gender barometer and the GBV, and I've already spoken to those specific issues as I was making. looking into their work for this year, and we have found that there are specific activities that is happening in the country as far as gender-based violence is concerned, even though it's not necessarily taken forward by the council. Under strategic objective 2, page 18, I've just tried to highlight the actual strategic objectives so members are able to follow the perfect and promote a strategic objective. We set ourselves for that strategic objective, page 19, to kindness investigate complaints of violations of gender rights, to initiate investigations of specific violations, and to develop different coordinated programs in engaging with or challenges of patriarchy and stereotypes, and to also initiate interventions for sustainable development and promotion of gender equality by addressing specific violations of social, cultural, political, and human rights dimensions. And then we are forced to collaborate with other institutions. For that specific SO2 progress that we can highlight, we had we have received a total of 211 files of complaints for this particular quarter, January to March, and we had then also resolved 222, or we were able to close 222 files for that particular quarter. Remembering that we had brought in the previous quarter, we had 534 that we were opening with in the new quarter, and we have now closed this particular quarter with 523 files. We've got legal outreach and clinics. We undertook a total of 25 legal clinics for this particular quarter. We have set ourselves a target of 108 clinics for the financial year, and we have been able to exceed that particular target because we've covered about 135 clinics for the full financial year. Slide 21, that just highlights, I've given a table that highlights the new files, the 211 files that we have opened, and I have tried to, we do try to highlight just to give a sense of which of the, you know, which many cases are coming out clearly. We still have, in the last quarter, members will remember that we had highlighted, we had a lot of maintenance cost cases in the previous quarter, but this quarter, issues around gender discrimination are the ones that are coming out quite clearly. Maintenance is still really very high as well. And slide 22 is just to give that same information, but in a different form, just to highlight representation of the complaint received and showing that gender discrimination is really taking the highest slice of the pie. At that point, members, that I'm on slide 23, and like I indicated, slide 23, I had a hyperlink there, and the hyperlink was talking to the legal clinic that we performed for the particular quarter. What we do in our legal clinic, we provide legal advice and make legal aid available to a community who are experiencing forms of gender discrimination in line with our mandate. We do realize as well that when we go into communities that there are also bigger problems that are there that different people have to deal with. So we don't go there alone. We do take some of the stakeholders, some of our stakeholders together with ourselves so that we can then hold and engage on some of the legal clinics. And I've just highlighted that I don't think I'm going to go page by page or province by province, but I've tried to highlight that information provincially, highlighting the district, highlighting whether those specific areas are urban or rural. Europe and highlighting gender, the people that are coming. In most instances, we find that we engage with 100% of females, and we do work with different stakeholders whenever we hold these particular clinics, and we do try to have specific topics or subjects that we are then able to engage with. In culture, for instance, we have engaged with quite a number of WASH community leaders, and we were able to then get into different communities around Moses Muleleva Center in Kenyatta, and there we were able to then sit and engage on some of the issues and be able to give advice. As you would see, as much as in some instances we do hold these particular clinics, it's not every time that you are able to then get the actual, matter that leads us to open files. In some instances we do, but you will see we've also tried to highlight on the side to say whether files were opened and if so, how many. And the numbers are there. It's only when we went to in Ikuduleni, for instance, around housing areas in Ifafa and Davidson, that we were able to open quite a number of files, and we had such a number of stakeholders as well that we engaged with. So it was just by way to give an example to say the 25, or that's the breakdown of the 25 legal clinics that we have held in this particular quarter, and they are disaggregated in that manner into that particular report entitled Anexure A Legal Clinics. I will then proceed to slide 24, where I will still be, I'm still giving progress on strategic objective 2, systemic investigations that we have undertaken. We have finalized our judicial transformation complaint, and we have a report that we have placed before this, our plenary in this particular quarter, finalizing that matter. We still have our sex work investigation that is still ongoing. In our last engagement, we have highlighted that we are still having quite a number of challenges in engaging with the relevant people. The Commissioner of Police, she has now come forward and will be able to then give her all the correspondence that we have been putting forward to her office all along, and we are really hoping that she will then come to the party and respond to some of the issues. As far as our coordinated program is concerned, we did quite a number of interventions on gender discrimination across the provinces. We still continued with our engagement with traditional leadership in different provinces, and there are MOUs that we highlighted that we had signed, and therefore we still carry on programs and engage with traditional leaders on some of those activities. We had a campaign on gender-based violence in schools, and also remembering that that particular quarter was also housing in human rights and gender equality, human rights month, so we also undertook human rights and gender equality campaign, where we had a specific concept document that was trying to guide the different provinces in terms of the activities that we must be undertaking on the ground on those specific issues. Slide 25 we are just highlighting under our public education and information. I think we had advised previously from this particular committee requesting that when we do our outreach work, we must always analyze the numbers in terms of the people that have come forward and be able to highlight to say we have engaged with so many people on specific issues that we deal with, or campaigns or workshops or dialogues that we undertake, and that's the disaggregation of the numbers by province. And we've also highlighted male or female, and for this particular quarter, we in our engagement we have been able to engage to that, we had also been requested to try and highlight specific geographic areas that we target or that we engage with, and always highlight whether those are urban or rural. So we have also in slide 26 tried to group that information in highlighting the specific districts that we have covered for the quarter, and also highlighting whether those are urban and rural. And as you can see, part of what we have agreed to do going forward is looking both at what PEI work and also legal work as far as legal clinics is concerned, is to try and target more rural now this time around as we are going to be continuing with some of these programs, because most of these programs, as you can see, they were done more in urban or semi-urban areas. We've got a community radio education program. We indicated to this committee previously that we have entered into an MOU with the NCRF where they give us slots for us in different community radio stations, and then we then go there and talk about different issues that relate to gender equality. For the quarter, we have done 18. We've been able to secure 18 radio slots, and we've just highlighted those specific radio stations or community radio stations that we dealt with and their average listenership. We've had also separate our education program on the media. We were running with human rights program because of Human Rights Month, and we had quite a number of media engagements as well that were really zooming directly to the human rights programs that we were dealing with, and I've also highlighted those specific ones that are now separate to the education program that we have signed an MOU for. Issues that we were able to surface as we were undertaking our work, as we were doing the different campaigns throughout this quarter, we surfaced that we still have issues around registration of customary marriages, especially in the rural areas. And we are still trying to put forward some strategies in terms of what needs to be done and also engage with Home Affairs on that. And we still see a lot of faith-based organizations that are not necessarily very ready to engage on issues around sexual orientation. Some traditional leaders do not want to engage on customary practices that impact on their achieving on gender equality. We still have suffered those witchcraft killings that we have highlighted previously in Limpopo. We still highlight, especially with our interventions in KZN and also in Marikana around widowhood, we still seeing that widows are really facing challenges as far as inheritance and estates are concerned. In actual fact, I must highlight the KZN government has really taken this particular work forward, because the Premier's office is now working together with the CGE to try and see what to unravel further things around tax, you know, tax implications on inheritance and widows and all that. So we are really seeing, you know, some of the government taking this particular way forward. But we are still trying to reach out to those rural communities, really try and highlight what their rights are and where they should go when they have specific problems or specific challenges of being disinherited in some instances or being thrown out of the estate once their spouse has gone. Access to land ownership is also still highlighted as one of the issues that are still problematic. Under strategic objective 3, we have set for ourselves to be conducting those reviews and really looking into the regional and international instruments. We had already finalized in the previous quarters, I think the two quarters, our Beijing, and we have engaged with it in this particular particular draft CD report. So we will carry over this particular activity. So then as soon as their report gets finalized, then we will still go back and look at policy and see as to whether it speaks to the issues that we found on the ground. And the AGDI draft report is ready, and we are still now going to engage with UNECA on this particular report.
Okay.
And for this quarter as well, in the quarter that also invited us, they are going to be taking us through AGDI police. We will be going there with the discussion that we take some of the stakeholders that we work with. So we have put together a team of a leader of this project within the CDE, and because that particular activity wants us to also have specific people from different sectors. There will also be somebody from SA that will be going, and then somebody from Union Dignity, and they will be covering that particular process. So we've already put that team together, and we'll see them going to finalize and look into HDIC. We attended CSW for this particular activity, and we had a separate report that we will be tabling as far as that is concerned. And at this point, jumping off, I'm on slide 33, and slide 33 speaks to strategic objective 4, which is a strategic objective that is more internal looking and not service delivery maintained. And we, for us to speak, I mean, at length with strategic objective 4, I will then, as I indicated under slide 34, there's a hyperlink that talks to the ATP tracking document, which is this particular document. But I'm not going to speak to strategic objective 1, 2, and 3, because I have, those are what I have covered in all the different slides that I was talking to. However, we can just zoom to strategic objective 4, just to highlight some of the activities and some of the things that we are undertaking. I must say, Chair and members, that when you look at activities that we're supposed to do under that strategic objective, there are two things that are outstanding, which are lagging behind as far as our work is concerned under strategic objective 3. It's our IT infrastructure upgrade. We started a little bit slow because in the previous quarter, part of what was supposed to happen was then to put out tenders and then adjudicate on those tenders and then for the fourth quarter for implementation to start. However, at the point when the different committees were sitting to look into some of these tenders, it found they in some instances, it was difficult for them to adjudicate because they had bundled too much most of the things that needed to be done. But some of the tenders were then put forward, especially those ones that related to the actual network. The ones that had to be unbundled and had to go back and be re-advertised again were the ones that are looking more to acquisitions of desktops and all that. But as far as the network is concerned, work has been done. Different companies have already been awarded, and we have been seeing already switches have arrived, and IT has been busy configuring some of those switches and all the other things that they have received for that particular process. So the only thing that was a little bit out of time was the actual desktop and laptop processes. The other thing that we had not been able to meet, and this is also highlighted on page 25 of that second table of the ACP, is we wanted to run a full awareness running for our policies, some of the new policies that we have. And there are two specific provinces that we have not been able to reach in terms of that process, that head office itself and Lhasa and Cape. This also was affected by the decision that we took in the same quarter, because we saw end of December our HR director resigning and going elsewhere. However, because at the same period we were also working on our APP and costing it, it was quite clear with the budget cuts that we are not going to be able to afford to have that position filled, and therefore we placed a moratorium on the HR director position, so that the deputy director at this point is the one that is going to be helping us. And because of that capacity, we also left behind in terms of specific activities that we wanted to undertake. That one specifically, the one that is two, the actual policy workshops that we wanted to undertake, the whole staff students and head office and Northern Cape were lagging behind at the end of March. However, dates have already been set to correct that particular variance, even though that now falls into the current financial year. And Chair and members, that is just by way of summary in terms of the work that we undertook for this particular quarter. And we must highlight that this year, because the last quarter is always the quarter that we also consolidate, auditors are already with us. We already at least have seen from our side that there's a little bit of progress and more improvement in terms of the work that we undertook, especially looking at some of the specific findings that we had previously that were highlighted by the AG. We have been able to do away and engage with most of those weaknesses. And I'll stop there, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CEO, and also not forgetting that you've made a commitment that this year you'll get a clean audit as an institution. CFO, can you finalize? Can you conclude with the finances of the institution? Thank you very much. And Honorable Mutap, you are welcome, and thanks for being with us. Honorable Mutap is a member of the Justice and Constitutional Development Committee.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. My presentation is basically a continuation from where the CEO has left. Just basically talking to the financial figures associated with substantive work from the CEO's presentation. My presentation is this has copy document titled fourth quarter finance report. Basically amongst others presenting on financial activities got to do with what is required in terms of financial processes, appropriation, and basically accounting for the funds that have been appropriated through the parliamentary process. So in part, this presentation deals with the accountability requirement. I'm going to take you slide by slide. Maybe we can start with slide number 2, which outlines the contents of our discussion. In the beginning, just to capture background, just demonstrate how our budget has been appropriated. And then the next component in the presentation, I'll be speaking to the actual financial performance. That is performance that relates to the current reporting period. And in the next part, I'll be talking about what's called financial position, the state, general state of financial matters at the CGE, cash flow, and other TFMA-related reportable activities undertaken by the Commission during this period. if we move to slide 4, basically just to set a tone, context, and have a point of reference, there's the budget in a nutshell. The budget that was employed in this period, the annual period beginning April 2014 to 31st March 2015, the budget that was allocated by National Treasury, if you look into the block on the right, was 67.2 million. However, at the time of planning, having been allocated 67.2 million by National Treasury, looking into our mandate, there was a funding gap. Our plan, the ATPs that the CEO was presenting, basically was costed to come to 69.9 million, 70 million. So we had to find extra budgetary financing. We already knew that within our accumulated surplus, there was interest income, accumulated surplus of previous period. There was interest income already, and then in terms of treasury, we are entitled to utilize such accumulated interest. So we have used or allocated a portion from the accumulated surplus to augment the funding requirements for the APP. APP meaning the annual performance plan for 2014-15. So we operated on an adjusted budget. And highlights from that budget was that 58% of the budget was basically set aside earmarked for cost delivery programs, sub programs, and as well, I think takeaway from that particular plan was that of the 17 million that was allocated, 68 million goes to COT. Basically, that allocation has got to do with our own business model, operating model. Our model is basically utilizing human capital, human resources to roll out the mandate, the responsibilities, obligations of the CGE. It's undertaken by our own internal officials, hence a bigger component of, of our budget will be COE. And the rest of the table basically indicates how the funds have been appropriated. The program, commissioner program, allocated 9.5 million. Corporate services, which include corporate services, made up of traditional corporate support services, IT, finance, human resources, led by the CEO, and got also led by the CEO, Service Delivery Program. But this one focuses more on the core mandate, where we've got officers, we've got officers, legal officers who are basically working for the protection component of our mandate, protection of rights, where we've got education and outreach who are also fulfilling the promotional component of our mandate, and research fulfilling the monitoring and evaluation function within our mandate. So the funds allocated for that particular purpose, mainly strategic objective 1, 2, 3, as indicated or presented before, that component was costed to come to 40.7 million. So overall, we have that 69.9 million of budget for the full financial year. The next slide on page 5 is basically a different presentation of the same information that I gave. So we're going to skip. Is there for reference? And coming back to what actually transpired in the financial year. We've got on page 6, statement of financial performance, summary of the result, effectively. We can see that for the year, total revenue that we have recorded was 74.7 million, and total expenditure 75 million, and for the year, we are reporting that this is that your pardon, and that your pardon is a deficit. Compared, and there are also comparative figures. If you look into revenue, last year we recorded 64 million against 74 million, an increase of over 10 million comparing the two financial years. Expenditure has increased substantially by 14 million. We'll talk to the details basically as to what the whole expenditure is high. If we can quickly go through line by line, I think the one that I can note as we are speaking now is on personnel costs. We see that last year we reported 39.9 million, about 40 million. This year we are reporting 46.6 million. The growth basically is explained by the fact that between the two financial years we have filled critical positions. So there was underspending previously because we had vacancies. Now we have filled the vacancies. That drove the expenditure higher. And in addition, there's a nominal increase in cost of living, the cost of living adjustment that normally occurs annually explains the growth. But basically, that is a key driver to the expenditure. Another line that can be noted is on finance cost. We will discuss it in the ensuing slides. But coming to slide number 7, with a question mark title, basically, I think is the issue about how much income we have. I've made mention earlier on how our development budget is. But in addition, there was additional income over and above that adjustment we spoke about. And that additional income came from extra budgetary transactions, including donated income, including another grant income that I will talk to in detail. Basically, it's a conditional grant coming from National Treasury. I will explain how it was required, basically as conditional or additional income in the next slides. Maybe we can quickly skip to slide number 9 just to get to the details around those extraordinary transactions. We know, it has been reported to this house that in April of 2014, being the first month, the first financial period in this financial year, the Commission had a gender summit, a conference around gender equality issues. And in that particular, for the execution of that particular agenda, there were partners and donors. In addition to what the Commission has set aside, in its coffers in budget, there was a further injection of around 1.2 by those partners, which has been previously reported. During March this year, during the fourth quarter of the financial year, we also had a transaction, a donation in kind by the SABC during the Human Rights Month. There were advertorials propagating the mandate of the CGE, flight tap on the SABC channel for the duration, and the value thereof came to around 600,970. And such income is recognizable in terms of GRAP, our reporting framework in government. There was also conditional grant which has been recorded as revenue from impact of that 74 million I spoke to, 4.3 million. Effectively, also to recap, we have previously reported that National Treasury on application has allowed us, maybe before that, let me just quickly keep that in mind. In terms of national federal regulations, public entities are not supposed to be accumulating surpluses and keeping the surpluses unless if that part of the surplus is due to interest income. Any other thing, if there have been transfers and then the transfers have not been spent in full in terms of national treasury rules, that money needs to be surrendered back to treasury. So in previous periods, what we did, and before we could surrender, we made an application to national treasury and said, and asked them to allow us to keep the 8.5 million, which was accumulated from previous people's surplus. And that application was granted, and the conditions were only to say that they had spent this money on the replenishment of the fleet, our vehicles, and also for the revamping of the ICT infrastructure. The full amount was 8.5. So far in this financial year, we have met the fleet condition from the grant, which came to 4.3 million. And according to graph, once we have met a particular condition, then we can record, just a book entry that we made, record that has income in the current year. So effectively we took money from accumulated surplus and put it into the current year surplus. Just to register, record, just an accounting convention. So in our figures for financial performance, we also have got that as an extraordinary transaction. And also linked to this particular grant, the ICT revamping element in the whole grant. There's work already commenced on ICT. And that work relates to professional services because before we can roll out or invest in any new systems and the like, there have got to be proper prudent strategizing. So there have been professional services as we're developing ICT long-term strategies. So we have incurred professional services coming from third-party service providers, consulting services to 500,000. So in terms of the same graph, the income is recognizable in the current period once we met the conditions. So we have actually met the conditions. So we have recorded a further 500,000 into revenue for the current period. These figures, I'm highlighting them because they have a tendency of diluting or even distorting the picture. So they are isolated, they are just extraordinary transactions. In addition, also reported previously to the House is the payment that was made in lieu of long outstanding penalties and interest to staff. So the net effect of this transaction, extraordinary transactions, was a 4.7 million, a favorable net difference. So added to our performance activities, we have a favor of 4.7 million delivered by this extraordinary transaction. And moving to the next slide, slide number 10. High level comparatives between budgets and actuals for the year. Against a budget of 70 million, 69 million bonds, we're talking about against that budget, the total spending for the full year came to 75 million. Basically, the over expenditure, which I will also outline basically, because this over expenditure as against the budget. We had a fixed frame of a budget, 70 million pound budget. Mm-hmm. But there's been So this comparative is about it is between a fixed budget which was appropriated and the actual spend. And that comparison basically brings about a £5 million unfavorable spend gap. But we know that this spending gap was sort of mitigated by additional income, donated activities. As an example, the SADC Alvetoria has been included. We have recognized that a particular service has taken place, which has got a financial economic benefit, and then we have recorded. We've got advertising expenditure included in here, although it was not funded from the tranches. So the 75 million is an increase. It's spending that reflects what happened all activities that we undertook as an institution have been properly costed here, 75 million, and against that budget. So there's an element of dynamic comparatives. So at this point in time, I'm just drawing a picture against a set budget. So we've got that 5.1 million, 7% spending gap in the overall, and the spending differences are indicated by economic classification. The key one being goods and services at 5.2. Depreciation, because we anticipated, at the time of planning, we anticipated that during the course of the year, we will recapitalize, especially IT, which has delayed. So we thought we'd be having new computers, which computers after acquisition we'll start using them, and then as a result will be a decision expense required. So because that didn't occur, that explains why we are having a favorable spending gap of around 400,000. We can move to slide number 11. Basically, it's also summarization by economic classification for the full financial year, as well as by programs. We roll out our four strategies through this three sub programs, and then the gaps I indicated will talk to the explanations in the forthcoming slides. The slide number 12 has got somewhat detailed expenditure lines for both the quarter under review, fourth quarter, as well as cumulative figures for the year. I'm going to quickly paint the picture for the fourth quarter. I think we can also reach slide number 13 and 12 jointly, because slide number 13 basically summarizes the fourth quarter comparatives. But the figure, in the fourth quarter, you will see that we are indicating an over expenditure of 1.9, which corresponds to the third column on slide 12. The third column with figures, the 1.9 is explained in detail. We can look into that. Effectively, for the quarter under review, we set aside a budget of 17.3 million, where the actual expenditure came to 19.3 million, 19,256. That's the actual. That is what we have spent from January 2015 to March 2015. Overall, that is what we have spent against 17,329,824 rands, being the budget for the quarter, and we had a gap of 1,926,518. The negative in this presentation, the negative means over expenditure, the positive means saving. So in the overall, we overspend for the quarter against the budget 1.9 million. And basically the key drivers we will see in the main is problem accommodation. There's always been throughout the financial year spending pressure on this essential line item. The reasons emanate effectively from the fact that our business operating model, our operating model is such that there will be trouble. We've got stakeholders who are spread out, stakeholders who are in provinces, grassroots. I think our mandate requires a human rights approach, so there will always be consultation and interaction with everybody within the council. So we do travel. As an institution, we are also for presence across the country with offices in every province, and therefore even for internal interaction, there will be an element of traveling, head office supporting provinces, there will be commissioners supporting provinces, there will be traveling to and fro between head office and provincial outlets, and basically even across offices, as well as various other plans. And again, another thing is that travel is from the broader economics. I think there are energy related pricing pressures, and then travel is also, you know, dependent on energy. So the inflation outlook in the general economy impacts basically on the spending. From the commission side as well, we can also indicate that we observe, we work hard to build in efficiencies. We observe the cost containment measures that Treasury, you know, published at the beginning of the January last year. We observe that, and then we are working very hard to contain such overspending or potential overspending. As well, we strategize differently. Example would be the use of alternative distribution channels, like use of media to reach out to our stakeholders. As you can see, we are now focusing, we are appreciating the medium, the general print, electronic media to be, you know, a substitute for, you know, the traditional fiscal encounter and traveling. And so many, so, and we've got also some strategies, including when we're going to be refurbishing our IT environment, we'll build in issues. We are appreciating the fact that technology can also help. Things like conferencing, video conferencing, if anything, but we are looking into approaches that could be much more cost effective and efficient. So however, this is the result. We have been pressured in spending on against that line, and then also looking into the cumulative figures on the extreme right, you will see that travel also remains a bigger driver. Some of the key drivers, I think, even in the last presentation, we looked into professional services. For the year, professional services, which is a composite figure, I will unbundle that figure, 5.1 million. We see that in the quarter we had an overspending of 621,000, but for the year we had 5.1 million, which was above budget by close to 800,000. Professional services content of that particular line. We have just as quickly feeding into what constitutes that line. We've got 2.2 million included in the 5.1 million being auditing costs to the AG, 2.2 million for the full financial. We have feature in CAD for the employee assistance program, the usual one we have called the service provider, Careways, whom we have paid the figures that we have included in the small amount, 53,000 rand. During the financial year, some of the policies linked to the ATP strategic objective 4, we plan to review and automate our own performance management system, the objective of which was basically to heighten performance generally from staff. As you have seen, we are dependent on our own officers to execute work. So performance management or improved performance is a component where we will have propensity to improve organizational performance. So performance management system was viewed as an important factor, so we have to improve it through using external consultants and also automating that particular system. That has been achieved related expenditure in CAD and recorded to about 400,000, including training. The whole thing went about redesigning the system, automating the system, training and implementing the system. So all the costs associated to that particular project has been recorded as 400,000 so far. A final figure. As well, I think included in that was material. At the beginning of the financial year we are reporting on, we were also reporting, we're busy with the auditors reporting for the formal submission. So part of that reporting included delivery of annual financial statements and then common practice, advice practice, best practices that there should be reviews. So our own annual financial statements were subjected to a review by an external service provider. Included in this extension 5.1, we have recorded 115,000 rand relating to that. Also coming from the ATP, some of the improvement projects that we undertook related to beefing up the accounting system, modernizing the accounting system. We have also reported that there has been delivered. We upgraded our own master system to a more current technology type software. That improvement came to around 100,000. And some of the consulting related to ICT, I reported about the ICT professional services, that's 500,000 which has been included there. So those are basically the key components to that 5.1 million. So in general, one can say that it is travel, it is professional services that explains the spending gap. In addition, if one looks into the cumulative figures for the year, the extreme right column, second column from the right and second row from the bottom, there's a 1.8 million coming on the Iswati page for SARS. The details have been discussed during the last reporting, and those are basically the key spending drivers in summary. Explain the comparisons. Moving to slide number 18, it's also summarization of the same information by economic classification, by program. We see that for the fourth quarter, the commissioner's program contributed 2.9 million, where the full composite budget for that program was 3.2 million. That resulted in a saving of 228,000. Corporate services, mainly because of the interest and penalties paid phase out some of the professional services because we had to do quite a number of quite a number of activities in the main the performance management system improvement overspend by close to 700,000. For the quarter, we recorded 5.6 and compared to a budget of 4.9, leaving a spending variance of 622,768. Service delivery against a budget of 9.2, we spent 10.7 million, leaving a 1.5 overspending. Overall, in the quarter, we overspent 1.9 million. And the details are as we have discussed. Maybe below that particular table, there are percentage comparatives, relative spending contribution. We see that the commissioner program comprised 15% of the full spending. Corporate services 29, service delivery 56. Although these figures, these percentages are for a quarter in isolation, but this is the picture generally in at an aggregate level. More or less, these are the proportions. And the over expenditure indicating that as we were spending more, and I'm saying overspending, it's only overspending compared to the quarterly budget. The spending heightened in the quarter because we often even heightened in our completion of targets in the quarter. So the overspending is within the quarter. However, for the there will be cross correction if there's been under expenditure because in the previous quarter because of a delayed activity and that activity has to be executed in the forthcoming quarter, there will be a cross dilution amount between the quarters. So far, this is just a quarter in isolation. Service delivery, because of catch-up work we have to do, drove lots of spending in the quarter, resulting in a spending gap of 8%, corporate services 4%, and commissioner program almost broke even at a gap of 1%. Next slide 14, effectively is also a high level of reiteration of my earlier rendition. To say for the full year, we have spent 75 million. Parliament appropriated to the CGE 70 million. The CGE used some other money from extra appropriation sources, and then amounting to 5.1 million. And then we have also discussed those extra outside appropriation activities for which we have recorded expenditure. Highlighted the big ones, SABC contribution by donors to the gender summit, all coming to 1.8. That other penalties and interest was not planned, so it pushed up our spending. And then the remaining balance, that is taking 1.8 plus 1.8, vis-a-vis the additional $5 million that we spent. The remaining balance basically can be explained by the fact that we have had some spending pressures, highlighted travel and professional services previously. So in summary, that's the picture of how we spent. Slide 15 was basically a comparative background, a recap from the last report, so we're not going to be discussing it. And without much ado, slide 16 repeats our earlier discussion, except for also to put it on record, matters under litigation, matters important for noting, and also important for noting that although we are reporting on activities under we report that. Because we've got systems that track systems. We've got a fraud hotline, we've got a whistleblowing, policing procedure, and then therefore such information, once we have it, we'll make it known to the House. Slide number 17, financial position summarized through the statement of financial position. As well, for all the figures, including physical figures, may I be right to say that we are reporting these figures, but these figures are still subject to auditing. We know the technicalities of financial year cutoffs, financial year reporting, and whatever. There are normally adjustments, accounting adjustments that get to be brought in, so these figures are still subject to change. To my knowledge, so far, because we have prepared, this report has been prepared for tabling last week. And then in this period, we are busy with reporting, adjusting, choosing figures here and there. The figures that are susceptible to tweaking, which will be reflected when we are going to be tabling the final figures, the audited figures with the annual report. What I know will be true will be the finance cost, that South African Revenue Services and penalties and interest that I'm talking about. In this report, we have recorded just a current estimation. However, when one looks into the accounting conventions and the like, we have had a discussion even yesterday with the Audit Committee, the AG present, to the effect that because some of the unpaid penalties and interest related to past periods, so there will be an accounting adjustment of moving that particular charge, spreading it basically across, even including the previous financial year. So there will be, you know, some of the 1.8 will be retrospective. We will do accounting backwards. So that will be isolated out of the current period. So it's one thing that has not been dealt with in this presentation, which will, to the fact now, which will change these numbers when we are reporting for the full financial year in the annual financial statements. Another element that will impact these numbers will be the work that we have done in the review of the useful lives and the economic usefulness of our own assets. It's a normal year-end type adjustment. There will be such the impact of which the impact generally from all the transactions will be to increase the surplus by 1.2. I'm just noting this for completeness reasons, so that when we come and report for annual for the full year after the audit, this matters are on record, and then it shouldn't be that there's a big distinction between what we report now and then what we finally report. So the anticipation as we finalize the annual financial statements is that because of those two elements, those two adjustments, our net surplus for the year will be now in this presentation I'm saying we're having a 392,000 deficit. But following those accounting adjustments, the deficit will switch into a surplus, and so far we have calculated a book surplus, let me just call it a book surplus, of around 800,000. So those would be the material changes. Other than that, these figures will reflect the same situation as when we are reporting my anticipation, but emphasis is to say that they are still subject to auditing. So coming to the statement of financial position, the balance sheet, the numbers are there for the period ending 31st March. We reported 13 million of current assets, largely constituted of cash and cash equivalent. Last year, the same time, we had cash of 19.5 million. The movement can basically be explained by the fact that we bought vehicles for 4.3 million. So cash has been dispersed. Otherwise, business has almost been as usual. What we budgeted, we paid for. What expenditure that we paid the creditors. And you can see basically the switching. We have moved cash by 5 million or so, just about 5 million. And then you'll also see that our assets have also moved correspondingly. We have increased from 1.4 to 5 million, explaining that particular investment. Our liabilities stands at 15 million. Our 13 million last year, we had 15 million. Our payables, I think inflation is also playing part because prices changes. So our liabilities are also pretty much in the same room. We are paying our creditors on time. These are no current creditors. And effectively, in summary, without looking into the numbers or cross-referencing the numbers, one can see that we are still a sound organization. Our assumption of going concern is still valid. We still have got more assets than we have liabilities. And we still have got cash to service our debts. We've got 13 million rand in the bank, and we owe people 13 million rand, so we'll be able to service our obligations. Just breaking even, but it's also a demonstration of how we are in the balance. If we can't absorb any other price. And effectively, that also goes to the cash flow slide, which I'm not going to be presenting on. Other PFMA related responsibilities, risk management. We don't have much issues. I think risk management has a prescribed activity has been executed by the institution. We've got meetings, we've got structures. It's embedded effectively within our own operations. Some of the things that we previously highlighted as being emerging and high level risks of highly considered risk element. One in the main was as it relates to the electricity supply. At the time only reported for quarter three. For head office we didn't even have secondary source of electricity, so when there was a blackout, there was business interruption. So we have engaged with the landlord as part of our mitigating strategies, and then the landlord complied and is now a generator, so we don't have interruptions in business as a result of electricity supply. Funding remains a challenge. We spoke about the figures now. We saw that even in terms of cash flow, we might be at risk. I mean, we are not going to be able to absorb any eventuality. We don't have anything, any contingency basically to absorb any shock, should there be any shock. So still a highly flagged risk. The accommodation issue, we are dependent on, we've got 10 offices effectively. We are dependent on working in collaboration with the National Department of Public Works. So now and then it becomes a challenge. I think we've got some offices. hypothesis in particularity was among them, but there's a key one in the Eastern Cape which we think poses a risk to the business, to the CD operation, but also risk at personal level for health and safety reasons. So we are taking those things. This is just example, a demonstration basically of the fact that we are fulfilling our Section 38 obligation around risk management. As the CEO has reported on slide 21, supply chain management, what we can note over and above our ordinary supply chain activities, there's been one, there's a project underway for the ICT, a project that is one of the bigger spending programs. We have done procurement during the fourth quarter. We have awarded contracts to three service providers in the name to supply network equipment, servers, software related to the network and the like. So the cost, aggregate cost, is 2.8 million still within budget to report, because the money that we have set aside is in terms of the special grant income from National Treasury that I spoke to earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
And also to report, the fourth quarter is a quarter that coincides with the reporting, DFMA reporting, annual financial statements to be able to the Auditor General and National Treasury by the 31st of May, in terms of DFMA Section 55. We are on course of doing that because auditors already started. So it's a period leading to that. But what relates to some of the potential audit finding, what could be included in the auditor's report would be issues around controls. We basically can report that there's a regular review by the AG on a quarterly review on our key controls. And then the last report we have had was the picture at the end of the third quarter, and the Auditor General report indicates improvements. And that is consistent with what we report internally as management to the oversight functions, to say that the issues around taking corrective action on audit issues have been done progressively, and that's improvement. So we are maybe anticipating that we'll be in a position to report better, I think, from our own perspectives before there's a pronouncement by the AG. We are progressing towards our goals and commitments to deal with issues by the AG. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Oh, thank you very much, CFO and CEO. I think the tool has presented the performance of the institution. So this time now, I'll remember to ask questions or make input if there's need. Honorable Robinson.
And obviously, we're all aware of the fact that prices are escalating
much. Thank you very much. Other members? Honorable Member Chapo.
Thank you, Chairperson. As a guest in this committee.
Hey, also a member. I've got full rights to participate as a member of Parliament.
Okay, thank you. Thank you
for the
study group which has started around 3 o'clock. Let me start by appreciating the presentation by the CEO and CFO, and my sincere apology for arriving behind the time ahead of our commitment. Chairperson, may I get started on the CEO's presentation, where she made mention of having signed MOU with House of Transplant Leadership. And at the same time, saying that there are some traditional leadership who are not cooperating with CGE. Then my question is, what then is the use of those MOUs in the case where certain transplant leaders are not cooperating? And again, Chairperson, CFO made mention of a lot of advertorial features made in March. We are quite aware that the March normally is the last fourth quarter of our financial year. Is that the most specifically made reference to outlining of mandate of CGE? And at the same time, on page 27, slide 27 of CEO's presentation. There is a community outreach program, radio outreach program, whereby CGE is able to meet plus minus 22.6 million adults. So is that in itself not a contradiction or a sort of fiscal dumping of some kind? Thank you, sir. But generally, really quite interested, more especially that the CGE is now listed as their assets the sound as compared to some of chapter 90 cities. As we are talking now, they are technically insolvent. Thank you, sir. May I give
you? Oh, okay. Yes, thank you very much. Honorable my chair, Carabella.
Thank you, Chair. I just have a couple of questions. Yeah, also, I have a question on the Shakespeare leaders. I just want to find out, is there a way that the Shakespeare leaders can actually, how do they help us to make sure that the Shakespeare leaders are there to support the relationship between the leaders within the community and the community? Bring that awareness of specifically what is happening and how to highlight the issues that are happening, issues about gender, issues of men. Is there a way that you actually make sure that there is that kind of knowledge transfer to the new colleagues? The other thing is that virginity testing. Actually, we can't watch what forms this virginity testing and what is our position and why. Because I've seen, I think it was a couple of months ago that girls will actually ask for the way to do vision testing, even a positive thing. But for some reason, you see it as a negative thing, because that's when you find out what is happening what brings the negative factor. And also the legal clinic. The legal clinic, I have a problem with that CGE in terms of visibility. You know, how much are you out there? You know, if I talk to you as a rural person and say, do you know what CGE? Will they be able to tell me what CGE is? What do you guys think? Are we there? Are the level of the people? Do they understand what CGE is? And going with the presentation with the CEO, you have legal statistics. You have housing, two for gender discrimination. What is it? Is it two as in two numbers, two or the thousand? And also, I think when it comes to what the CFO has presented, he's talking about, what is it,
the human rights summit, he spent 1.8 million. I just want to know exactly what it is. And risk management for SAS, you spent 1.8 for SAS. What is that? Because you have mentioned that you spent 1.8, but I just want to understand what it's about. Because it's not explained very well. And I've received a lot of statements from you in this IGC report. There's somewhere where you mentioned that, you know, there's a problem where you contact a virus. Do you have any risk management for virus? You know, if you have that, like in a sense, you know, do we have, I don't know if I'm making mistakes or something, but yeah, I don't see in your, there's a list of what needs to be in what needs to be in place, but I don't see anything about firewalls, virus, antivirus, and all that. Do you have anything that you have in place regarding that? And also the commissioner, they received 2G internet access. Okay, and you said that usually they go over and so they don't come out. How are you going to be able to manage that? Are you going to have a cut-off amount and say, okay, you stick to that, and if you go beyond that amount, or for you to pay for that? I think that's about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Honourable Tatri and followed by Honourable Robinson. Oh, and Honourable Spanish. Yes, you are the last. Thank you.
I just wanted to understand how you deal with the issue of issues where rights do have a cost each other, and when your commission, when the rights of your commission clash with the human rights, something the human rights commission can be, or for example, the commission on religion, culture, etc. Dealing with talking about some of the things that other entities look at, those on the cultural issues, and then there will be
thank you. Robinson?
Thank you. Yes. I also would just like to point out the legal thing. What kind of outcomes do you have? You know, we have so many problems with gender violence. This is something that really bothers me. I don't know that we're making an impact. I think lots of people are doing things to try and help. But are we succeeding in any way? And do you perhaps have literature, documents, leaflets that are available for you if one wants to do something on one's own? Are these available? I'm also concerned, I was listening to a program on the radio as I was driving in this morning, and people were talking about young men becoming violent and being marginalized because they feel there's such an emphasis on women and girls. And that men, young boys, have no alternative except to insert themselves through violent measures. Mm-hmm. Now this is a bit of a problem. We obviously want to help women and girls to escape the patriarchal attitudes which are suppressing them. But are we doing it the right way if boys are becoming more violent and are actually contributing to some of the problems in society, not necessarily against women, but against other people, and this is leading to crime. So I think this is a tremendous problem we have to deal with, and you know, I'm just hoping that you've got some answers. And then also you had a number of cases that you were investigating, and I don't think you're getting through them all. There don't seem to be
thank you, Honorable Tseu, followed by Honorable Machova, and today we don't want us to finish. Let me take Tseu, then Machova, Bengu, and Machizilku.
Thank you, Chair, and just to appreciate the presentation that we have received yesterday and the CEO. On the complaints, by the end of March, there's 523. Are we rolling them over to the next financial year? Or do you have a plan on how to resolve them such so that they shouldn't be this many? Because the target was only 118. When you go to slide 21, on the claims for restitution, I haven't seen a data showing how many women claims current of, but in this instance, it is 0000, or do you wait for the information to come to your office? Or you go to the main that says to check how many people are taking them. The other one was on the same thing was the issue of eviction. In Bromo Street only, there have been a number of evictions in the last 2 years. Probably even this year, there have been evictions. There's always evictions in
Parliament.
But evictions here in terms of your state, it says 0000. Somewhere in Kubananda 2, somewhere in the Northwest 1. It cannot be. It cannot be. I mean, you know that from areas or rural areas an area of eviction everywhere. So it can be that you don't have anything to report on that from the salon. I'm just asking a question. And there was a sentence that the CFO, no, the CEO said, stereotypes and patriarchy. The stereotypes are byproducts of patriarchy. So it's a sub. What is that? Correct word to use. But patriarchy is the system. But out of that system, you have stereotypes, you have nonsense, you have a number of issues that encompass this patriarchy. So you can't say stereotypes and say patriarchy, nonsense. Unless I put you. If maybe you can explain to me what you mean by stereotypes and patriarchy, it can be, as far as I know, it can be the same. Level. One is the either subordinate to the station.
Is that further? Bengu, your turn, man.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for your presentation. Thank you for speaking. Well, you remember that the portfolio committee is doing oversight. We visited your office in Chapman State. From there, you mentioned that you have been finalizing. Although in your presentation you have
Some of us this morning, we have divided ourselves and slowly removed
just in case if something happens in the airport, some crew like in Cape Town. I have a terrible experience where I had to come back last year because it was fucking in Cape Town, so and I couldn't come to Parliament. So that, some of those things. So but we're trying our best to try and reduce the travel. And we request the government members to assist us to ensure that we deal with this matter. The issue of the MOU that was raised by question of CBS actually on and so presiding over the traditional cancer. So and we have that program. We signed the MOUs. And I think the MOUs are here to connect us together with the health protection leadership. And they must allow us to come to their communities to work with them and so on. There will be always new system leaders who sometimes will affect some of these things. But they have to assist us to work with them and investigate complaints in relation to that. Let's see, there is that working relationship with them. And we disagree with them on a number of issues. And we also agree on a number of issues. A case in point here is around the issue of the gene testing that was raised by where we're fighting even the ANC as an organization, Women's League, that is agree on the matter now. The KZN are coming with another matter, the ANC Women's League is coming with another matter. Us as a senior commission, public information, and we're saying this is a human rights issue, and we must actually treat it as a human rights matter. So these are some of the things we find even women organizations not agreeing on some of these issues.
Honorable Chew, please.
Oh,
can
this
you
so, yeah, but I think for us, the issue is why
it is
around the issue of dignity, the issue of privacy, the issue of health, all those issues, the security of the person, those are constant issues that are raised in the gender commission. The rights of the child vis-a-vis the rights of the community and so on. So those are the issues. But these are very contentious issues as well, and we must all agree. And I'm speaking here, and I'm going to show you without favor, digital.
Yeah, because the matter was in public, you know, domain. I saw a protest, something like a protest in Joburg, where in young girls were handing on a memorandum, what is this? A petition to the Women's League in Gauteng. I told you, Honorable Chew. Oh, yes. In Johannesburg. Okay, we'll deal with that. Or we'll deal with it.
No.
You received the petition. Okay, now we'll discuss the thing outside. Yeah, we'll discuss it. Definitely.
So those are some of the issues. So I don't know what I'm saying, I don't want to take that, that makes any sense. The issue of security. Well, the issue of security as well, these other for you to discuss the question for security. The issue of security in the office as well.
Oh.
There are the issues about security world and so on and risk. He was gonna respond to that. But we have an ICT department and some of the issues are very clear, but the building is not owned by us, it's owned by other people who are actually putting some of these things. I want to go through, I'll leave the others for my colleagues. But I want to go through the issue of the complaints out of the jail. When you look at zero restitution, those are the complaints that people lodge with us. And we have our own categories of those complaints. We'll find that some of the restitution issues might not be gender equality issues. The other institutions would deal with those issues. But we are only talking about the issues that actually come to us. But if you look at, there is a research that we conducted, I think 1.5 or 2 years, where we're looking at the issue of land restitution in the country, where we're looking at gender equality issues, where we're gender related. Education of how land has been allocated to men and women. So I think Christian Boca is just under 11% of it. So those are different issues. I want to filing and facing to that in different languages. So we all agree that that is important. And how have actually augmented that in sushi? We've actually produced 11 pamphlets in different languages. So you can distribute that to communities where we went. English, Zulu, Tonga, Fana, and so on. And with the financial data, it would be difficult for us to run 11 different. The might be doing one or two links on the workshop that we have, which I think is the innovation to say we will need to have a link on all those 11 workshops and link them if you want to read about CGE. Can read about the project in different languages in the project. So there could be new innovation, but within building within the website as well. But the issue of literacy as well, how do you actually make sure that you are able to coach people who are illiterate? Because either interested, or rather can actually read your own website. So those are some of the issues. But I think we need people who are still literate and literate must find your actually including other language. So yeah, I don't want to finish everything, but let me just give to Kevin Cook and then CEO and CFO that are going to respond on the technical issues.
Okay, before the chair or the CEO, Matthew, do you have a follow up on the website for your
Yes, not just the question that I asked, I also asked this question on your complaint. I wanted to understand if you're talking about either two cases or I'm talking about 1,000 cases, because it doesn't show on the slide itself that how many cases that is in it. And also when I ask about the website, I don't have a brochure, but I need to talk to CGP. And the only thing I have is a website. Is it possible? I'm just asking, is it possible that could be translated? Or maybe have a part of the site that we can access that is in a financial language.
I'm not that shadow right away, the one that I'm developing now is very expensive to get different. That would be fun. In terms of transfer links, I think something could be done. But in terms of the brochures, all of them, we've shared them, all of them in the committee as well. But you can only resubmit those brochures as well. But I think we are checking that in the spirit that we are actually taking us to develop as a local. I'm not sure if we want to respond to that.
Thank you, Chair. Look, as far as the issue of the website,
I was very concerned when the issue of experience to talk to people in their own language. Because it's the same argument with the water. They are giving us import wages, saying that it's expensive to grant in our own country. It's important. Then this thing doesn't make sense. Or they want to make profits for those that want to make profits. I mean, now we're paying more money to buy food, which can be produced in our country, and they're telling us we can't plant it here, it's expensive. It's exactly the same argument. It's expensive to speak in a mother tongue than it is to speak in English, something that is important.
sure the money is going to the website will not be able to do anything else. We try to choose as much as we there are people who are champions for language in our but we try. Even with the printing, we try, but we can't even do the 11th language, only printed material. And when it comes to websites, those IT people, they give you a huge bill, and then you just know that you can't reach it. So I understand the pride from the honorable member, but I would like a great promise next year in 182. This is one aspect that we have just given in financial year, we can't do this one. There are other avenues of reaching community that we try to give them the
yes, still, can you? Let's continue. Now,
I'm just going to relate to the question.
Oh, yes, yes. Jumping next to the mic here. Okay, Commissioner, you can continue because you are already next to the mic. You have
the
chief on
the question on legal things and legal complaints, what to be true when there is a cash, relating to matters of relating to matters of purely generic human rights. Those matters are better than a negotiation with the institution by the legal officers involved. And of course, if that dispute is intractable and not resolved, it's always a fairly test, up so that the top level or the respective So it's also the question in relation to the phobia. The most recent events took place within this quarter one. On the fourth quarter. We will tell everyone on what steps are being taken to meet the situation. Thank you, sir.
Okay, see you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to say, because there's an issue there that was raised around a legal opinion, specifically compared to the issue of disability. I think what we have done, we tried to put quite a number of programs together that will help us with the issue of disability. We don't only have legal opinion. We've got a program, like we have highlighted, where we are able to go to community radio stations and speak to communities in their own vernacular language on some of the programs, on some of the issues that we deal with as the Commission. And coupled with that, we then would hold these dialogues and workshops that are based in specific communities dealing with those issues. So we do realize that it's impossible that one specific activity can help us to have a full reach. So that's why we try and have that integration and ensure that from legal point of view, they must be able to go out and put health desks together so that we're able to give legal advice and often found where there's need as far as issues of discrimination are concerned in different localities. So that's what we do there. In terms of the statistics that we are presenting to you now, is specific files that we have been able to open for this current quarter, i.e. January to March.
Mm.
So for this quarter, we are saying we have opened 211 new files. And out of that 211 new files, we try and disaggregate to say how many letters per province and what were those letters all about. If it was a sexual harassment letter, then we highlight to say we had two files in Gauteng that related to sexual harassment. We had one file in Hennepin and what have you. So the number two that you would have spoken to in the different blocks will be highlighting a specific case under a particular nature, but often by a particular province. So that's why we have that table that says nature, and then have the different provinces we just try to plot so that we give an indication of what are the kind of cases that we are getting from the ground as we do our work. In terms 2021 as well. And those 523, when you were checking whether the numbers that we have, the 523 will be rolled over.
Mm.
Yes, that's why we are closing for the financial year. I think when we report the annual report, it will be clearer because we will be able to then give you a sense of all the files that we've opened for the full financial year and what we are closing with. So that 523 is what we are closing with for this current financial year. That's what we closed with in this particular last quarter. And that will be our opening balance for the first quarter. I think most of the letters that we deal with, it's difficult sometimes to be able to say a letter will be finalized within a particular time frame, because we do investigate the complaints that we get. There are specific steps and processes that we need to go through. It's almost similar to like already anticipating, for instance, if you have a litigation matter, to say we will finalize this litigation within a particular time frame and you find that that does not happen. So in most cases, we do get those cases that we are able to receive, finalize quickly, and then hand over. Or move forward on some of these cases. In some instances, you do find that you don't. It takes a bit of time to finalize some of the letters. And I will make an example with one of the IFSL sort of cases that we dealt with. We had a match by Sati at some point that was displaying a case was supposedly Minister Mushaka's underway. And we took up that particular case, and we've been engaging with all the parties that were involved, including SASU and everybody else. And it's one of, I'm just making an example, that case, we only finalized it now, in this particular quarter. And even by way of finalizing, we were able to put the parties together, and we wanted them to meet so that we can mediate and deal with the process. And we agreeing, we could not find dates and what have you. And those are processes that we sometimes undertake in dealing with some of these issues. And sometimes we do find closure quickly, but in some instances it does take a while. And it depends and sometimes on the respondents and also the complainants that we deal with as we are going along. And I think the chair reported on issues of land restitution and evictions. And when I was talking about stereotypes and I was specifically highlighting our strategic objectives, remember we did come to Parliament, and when we started with the strategic plan, there were specific strategic objectives that we set for ourselves. So at the point where you heard me talk about strategic objective 2, which strategic objective speaks about to promote gender equality by engaging with the relevant stakeholders, to educate, raise awareness on issues of gender equality, to challenge patriarchal perceptions, stereotypes, and take action against infringement of gender rights through implementation of appropriate redress. So I was just highlighting specifically that strategic objective and trying to give progress of work that we've done under that particular strategic objective. And Cameron Matova, when it comes to clarity on the issue of 108 limits. I think for the full financial year, legal department has set out to say we will go out and we will undertake 108 legal limits. So that's what we have for the financial year, but when you look at the work that they have done in terms of going to do work in these rural areas, you will find that we do have 135 legal clinics that have been done for the year. I was actually hoping initially when we came here that we will find Honourable Magdalena, because I think we have gone to a particular community where she was there, and she was actually able to go into one of the legal clinics. I think it's one of the things that we wanted to do in December when there was oversight, and it could not happen because members had to come back to Parliament, so that it gives them a sense of what it is that we do when we undertake legal clinics. We had legal clinics that took place recently now in the Eastern Cape, in a particular area. And surprisingly, she was there, because she was within that particular community, I think, whether interview in terms of what intellectual address, and we were able to, we do call these in courses as well, they do come, we engage, and they give us space to also give communities advice on some of these issues. And I think it's one of the really important ways to help us be able to reach and be able to give legal advice to communities. In terms of the question around SARS, I think in terms of what the CFO has reflected upon, and in terms of SARS, we had been presenting previously, I think, that there was a liability that SARS was putting forward to say the CGE owes them on the basis of late submissions that were done in the year 2000, 2001, and all that. And we had started really a process to really try and reconcile. We had even had to go back and even to the bank, you know, just to try and reconcile. That amount was actually much higher in terms of what they were claiming previously. And then eventually, with all the reconciliation and everything that we undertook, finally, at the end of December, we were able to then agree on an amount. Obviously, that covers all those past periods. But obviously, if you do, if there's a mistake somewhere, even if it's a long time ago, it will always reflect in your account. And that's what we were trying to clear, and that's what we have been able to clear with that. And in terms of rights of mandates that overlap, I suppose that's the correct word. We have quite a number of processes that we put forward. When if as a CG, for instance, we receive a letter that we also see that it's got some human rights elements in it, we work together on those specific complaints to the Human Rights Commission. We do have complaints where they would have a jurisdiction and we would also have a jurisdiction, therefore we work together on some of those. We also, with this forum that we have of institutions supporting democracy, it has become much more easier that it's not just a forum where chairpersons CEOs are able to sit, but what we've also done a little committee where all the legal people of the different institutions are also able to meet and sit. And I think the whole idea there is to ensure that we don't waste too many of funds on something that should be done by someone else. But I must indicate, because in actual fact, there was an issue that came out around CRL rights. We do have a serious clash with the Commission for Culture, Tradition and what have you. And we have been attacked as the CGE. They attacked the CGE together with the Constitution, quite frankly, as far as some of those rights are concerned. So we've had we are still trying to find engagement, engage each other and find a way, but there will be instances where, for instance, we feel that a female chief, by right, by death, is supposed to be leading, and they come and they say, no way, a man and a man and a man will lead. So we do have those specific issues. And of late, as it has been highlighted, when the issue of the genetic testing was being dealt with, we were also lambasted by the CRL Commission in some of the forums where they have invited us, by the way, to deal with some of these issues. But you know what? It's democracy. The Constitution, as far as we are concerned, is the main document that we must be able to use as we all discuss our mandate. ICT, the ICT reports that Honorable Machesi, I think, was talking to around Commissioner 2G's and what have you. We are putting a policy in place now to ensure that if people have access, because what we tried to do initially was to speak to the service provider to say, when you reach this reverends here and there of people going over. So we are happy with that, putting a policy together that then also puts the users to also know that should they should be checking all the time, because sometimes they are alerts that come through. If you don't take heed of those particular alerts, then you will be able to pay out of your own pocket for anything that goes over what we have put forward. In terms of ICT report again on firewalls and all that, we do have firewalls, and I think sometimes these things, you know, happen that we can have an encryption of a virus, but I think that the main thing there is whether you are then able to deal with it or do away with it. We do have a firewall that is supposed to be updating us at all times on some of those issues, but we have indicated, I think, before that our ICT is very old, which is why this process is going to be helpful, where we are now re-networking and then putting new servers and then the license page. That is also going to come a long way to ensure that we are not finding ourselves in too much of risk. I'm not sure if there's anything that I have not been able to cover. I think the Honorable I think there was a question around critical banking or something.
Oh yeah.
In terms of adverts, and then that was also talking to
Human Rights.
Human Rights Month. Okay, so you're not harassing me.
I'm not harassing the CEO, but just to give feedback around how that expedition was funded. It relates to the SABC, it was not funded from CG Corporate, so it was not fiscal entity per se. And I think the question also dealt with comparing this to the radio, community service stations that were utilized in the SIG, the advertorial dealt with the SABC. Yes, indeed, advertorial dealt with the CG mandate, promoting the CG mandate through TV as a media. And the community radio stations run specific campaigns. The two are not necessarily, you know, substituting each other, but they're complementing each other. Advertorials were just promoting the CG mandate in general terms through TV. And for all the other promotional activities, campaigns, we utilize the radio. So there wasn't at all whatsoever any fiscal funding.
Okay. There was also a question, I'm not quite sure who asked that question, relating to the gender summit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the gender summit vis-a-vis your human rights of the children. Because the gender summit initially costed 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was saying, is there outstanding money or the human rights, whatever, advertorials, was it funded by SABC or was it funded by that donor funding? The balance in cash from your gender, the donation for gender funding.
The two programs were separate. Gender funding was funded differently by CGE and specific...
Honorable Machete, I think you have asked this question. Machete. That's responding to the question that you've asked.
The Human Rights Month campaigns, which were done through advertorials through the SABC, was a separate project from the Gender Summit. Donations from the Gender Summit have its own specific donors. And the donors, the money that has been received from donors is specifically funded everything relating to the conference itself. And that happened in April of 2014. The human rights campaign happened in March of 2014. separate from the Jannah family, and then the advertorial specific to that particular family were funded or were donated by the SABC.
But why is you still there? The in one slide you said the gender summit costed 1.2, but you had a donation of 1.9. Where's the difference?
The total, yes, thank you for the question. The total donated income is 1.8.
Hmm.
Constituted of 1.2 being for gender summit and 600,000 being won by the city. So the total donated income recorded came to 1.8 million for the year.
Oh.
There were two elements in it. 1.8 million is made up of 1.2 for gender fund and 600,000 for human rights.
Nice, it was not specific here. Now you understand the members, but though the explanation was it, but in terms of your presentation, it does not tally, you know. There are two different things.
It's separated from slide 9 that you're reading for you. The top line is 1.19, which is for
gender families, yes.
And then the line after that is 599,000 for the human rights. So the two of them come to 1.2.
I think that, Honorable Dudley, you're the last person. It's now 1:30. And 2:00 we are having a question. Thank you very much. Honorable Dad, which one?
I just want to ask perhaps I missed it, but the problem of young men
becoming
more violent.
Oh, it's an outstanding question.
Mm.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah,
you don't
have
an idea. Yeah, sure. I think you're the last person to respond, and then we'll be closing.
I think there are about three questions that were not answered. One is around discussion. I think as the CGY Gender Commission, and you see that in the next 2 months or so, we're going to table a report that CGY was engaged on many issues. Secondly, as the Gender Commission as well, we engage with men's forums around the country. There are men's forums that in fact that deal with men's issues and so on. And even those men's organizations that are now contributing to backlash as well as this. We also, as part of what we do as a commission, whenever we go to communities, we make sure that we invite men to be part of our access program and education program. Over and above that, as I said, we should not complain to the community about the quality. So, and you, if you look at our archives, then you'll see that the National Commission, I think in 2005-2006, we once had a men's summit who involved all men throughout the country to deal with this issue. But we also have, for example, programs on fatherhood, on gender equality, on race, and so on. We are able to include men because they also face us. They are also excluded in this program. Also, the African matters are also gender pay as well. Not only ordinary men and LGBTI as well as part of this engagement. So we have programs where we engage men on a number of issues. Now, the approval, but as plain as we've taken it, so we're not only going to look at attack on foreign nationals, we have to look at immigration as a totality and its impact, including human trafficking, including, for example, when we look at the Republic attack, people that are not even mentioning the impact it has on women and children and elderly people. So those are the issues.
last one, I'll answer the question, Chair, on by Honorable Jolos Hussein, on how to reach the public in terms of public information. We've raised, I think that has been mentioned, how to make sure that we try to submit our information. One, our act is very clear that the only thing that the CJ to do in terms of the act, and we do over and above that, is to write the report and submit it to Parliament on the perspective. That's all that's expected from CJ. Mm-hmm. But because we're an organization that is going to want special action things, we actually make sure that whenever we have a report, we do other things. But in terms of the act, that once the report is there, then we have to ask the particular committee, we're giving you the report, what are we doing in the report? But what we are doing as a China Commission over and above that is we go to radio, publicize our reports, do press releases, even do policy briefs with different government departments. We even have the Twitter account, which is the same as this thing, particular issues as well. We even go to communities and engage on these issues. As the Commission is also informed the entire family to be dispatched like to speak about our report and everything that we do. So, Chair, in a nutshell, that's what to do in terms of trying to publicize our report and also write some journal and other high level documents.
Okay. Thank you very much, and let me thank members.
I was just thinking about the issue of xenophobia. It's the issue of migration. You know, I remember Amos Paulner has been killing Amos Zulu throughout the year. It is not tribalism or vice versa, or people from actually not wanting people from social groups to enter social groups. So you can't call it xenophobia, and this thing has been happening amongst black people, you see? So I don't know why you didn't call it xenophobia just because the person is from Zimbabwe into maybe social groups. People have been being territorial throughout, protecting their terrain. And because other people like white people from Europe are not being attacked. So why do we call it xenophobia? It's migration.
No, thank you very much. I'm not going to enter into the debate. Thanks for the information. And let me thank members for being part of this interaction. And also to thank the CGE. Thanking the CGE for your the responses and to the submission for the outstanding documents. And thank you very much. Well, I think I wish to see you when you will be presenting your annual report now. Yeah. Yeah, you've been in Parliament this year for quite a long time. Yes, and thank you very much. But if you find anything, if you get a letter that you want to hear, you don't have any choice. Please. yes, you have to come. And thank you very much, Kimchi. Thank you for attendance. And if you have anything that you want to ask the CCC, we are at liberty and outside of this meeting. Yeah, they are available. And thank you very much. Meeting adjourned. Out of record. Everything is out of record. The meeting is adjourned.